Hi, I'm Josh Curry.
And I'm Jeff Kirvin.
And this is Maximum Geek. Now,
supposedly. Assuming this one doesn't get corrupted and actually gets posted.
Just
what happened to the last one. It got eaten.
Over an hour of recording. Very upset, Josh. We recorded a whole podcast, and a vast majority of it was junk because of call graph.
Yeah.
So hopefully Jeff is also recording this one, so we have a backup.
Jeff does not have call graph installed on this computer yet.
Oh, no drafts on your computer. Well,
no drafts.
Let's hope that things go smooth.
That would have been something that it would have been helpful to talk about before we started recording.
Yeah, but that would have required planning. Anyway,
yeah, that's not our way. It's not the way of our people.
Yeah. For those of you new to Maximum Geek, like there's anyone new. Everybody listens to us.
Or for those of you who just can't remember what it was like in the olden days when we did this podcast.
Jeff, we've been around for... Quick, let me do math.
We started in 05. We were one of the first tech podcasts.
I thought we started... No, we started in 04. We started before Tori was born.
Okay, so we started in 04. We are podcasting pioneers. We're just really, really bad at it.
No, we're good at it. We're just inconsistent.
Well, we're good at it when we do it. We're just bad at doing it.
That's what she said.
Ba-doom-tsh.
All right. So I thought we'd start out by talking a little bit about how Max Geek is changing and that it's not on purpose.
Yes. Everything we do is purely by accident. Honest.
Well, I never wanted Maximum Geek to be a primarily mobile tech podcast. I wanted to cover more, and we do try to cover more. But more and more, the most exciting news is mobile tech. I mean, it's not like there's a lot of jumping up and down over, for the masses over PCs.
Hey, look, Intel added a seventh core. It doesn't really matter.
They did. Yeah.
Yes, I know there are 8-core processors. Go away.
Yeah. Are you sure you know that? I'm just checking. Anyway.
I think the 8-core processors are actually an arachnid plot.
Okay. Anyway, the point being that most of the news out there is mobile tech news, because mobile tech is quickly taking over as the primary technology. I mean, you've still got game systems.
But, I mean, for example, you got game systems, you got, we never really covered car tech. We will talk later about books and publishing and whatnot. But mobile tech is enveloping just about everything that first world people do. And a great example of this, tragic example, but nonetheless illustrative, was what just happened in Japan.
Yeah. It's a horrible tragedy. Our well wishes, and I won't say prayers, because frankly, we want to do good for people.
Yeah, neither of us overtly religious.
Yeah, we would only
although,
harm them.
Frankly,
we prayed.
You get hit by a 9.0 Richter earthquake, a tsunami, a volcano, and a nuclear meltdown. They're one giant lizard away from a flush, is what I'm saying.
Actually, I thought that was a straight.
Work with me here.
I have no choice. I keep trying to trade you in on a newer model, and you just will not. I should have gotten that Best Buy plan when I...
Don't get me started on their stupid buyback plan. That is such a rip.
But anyway, Japan. It is a tragedy, and we feel terrible for people over there. But it's got a worldwide effect beyond the tsunamis, which are their own worldwide effect, but there's a very serious effect on the tech industry in several places. But the primary place is, I believe it's something like 40 or 50% of the NAND memory is produced in Japan. Now, for those of you who don't know what NAND is, it's, well, it's everything. If you've got a device, it's probably got NAND in it. If you've got an iPad, an iPhone, an Android phone, a solid-state hard drive, what else? Is there anything that doesn't use NAND these days?
No, that's pretty much anything now. Anything that doesn't have a spinning hard drive in it but needs to store data uses NAND.
Pretty much. So, guess what? It was all being produced there, or a majority of it was. 40 or 50%. It was the largest producer of NAND.
I didn't read anything about Korea, but they're not that far from Japan. And, I mean, if Japan got a 9.0, Korea had to get something.
Well, but the bottom line is that Toshiba...
Korea handles all of the, I think all of the AMOLED screens that are produced.
Yeah.
But, so, I mean, yeah.
Toshiba's factory in Japan is currently closed. And, therefore... not producing NAND, which is a vast majority of the NAND. So we've already seen price spikes in the memory at the highest level. That will trickle down to your devices. I don't know how long term this is going to be. It really all depends. I mean, this may be a short price hike, and companies like Apple may go ahead and absorb it for, you know, if it's going to be a quick thing.
Yeah, I tend to think that these kind of components are bought far enough in advance that big companies like HTC and Apple and Samsung aren't going to reflect any changes in their pricing. This is going to dramatically impact the smaller players, especially the Android tablets that are coming out from these companies you had never heard of. They are going to find it increasingly impossible to get supplies because what is being produced is going to go to the major players.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. I mean, there will be a shortage and it may just impact stock on things like iPads, and it probably will just impact stock. But I'm thinking they'll probably recover depending on what happens with this. I mean, we don't know. We don't know what the long-term outlook's going to be necessarily, but there's already been an impact. And long-term, there will be. And, I mean, this is just... Well, I mean, I don't really want to get into this because we could spend all night talking about what this tragedy really means and the come-to-Jesus moment people should be having that they aren't. Yes, I said come-to-Jesus. It's okay. Earlier, yes, my wife was watching Ultimate Christian Wrestling. That's right.
With their patented Ascension Slam.
Exactly.
I'm
just saying, it really exists. She stopped watching the show she was watching because there was Ultimate Christian Wrestling and she couldn't handle it. I couldn't have handled it. I'm glad I didn't see it. I'm guessing there are no nipples, though.
See, why would you even go there?
Why wouldn't I go there is the real question. Anyway.
You scare me a little.
So, Yeah, so, I mean, that just kind of goes to show you how things are really being affected worldwide by this. But on to happier topics. I thought we'd talk about daylight savings time.
You know, my Android smartphone updated fine, woke me up right on time Sunday morning, didn't miss a beat.
Yeah, you clearly don't have an iPhone.
Not anymore.
I don't rely on, I can't rely on my iPhone's alarm. I mean, mine went off without a hitch this time. The last two times there's been a problem. Hey, look, guys, why can't you figure out daylight savings time?
Well, okay. To be fair, a lot of people can't figure out daylight savings time. Yeah,
most of them aren't computer manufacturers or OS writers. You know, look, computers are handling daylight savings time automatically.
It's clearly neither magical nor revolutionary. So you can understand why Apple's not putting a whole lot of time and effort into it.
Yeah, but it's like part of the world. That's okay. Did you hear that in some places, like, you know, Arizona, where there is no daylight savings time, there had to be something positive about living in Arizona, right? Anyway, there's no daylight savings time, but people's iPhones were correcting anyway. So, there it worked. And some people were reporting that it changed fine Sunday. They looked at it. They woke up today and it was wrong. There you go.
I got nothing.
I got to say, I'm a little peeved. But I'm excited because tonight, I don't know what time it's at because, my phone won't tell me.
Yeah, it's 8 o'clock Pacific, so it's one more hour from when we're recording this. See, if we did this live and had a chat room, we could, like, get people excited about it. But it's hard to coordinate our three listeners into getting online all at the same time.
Yeah, it really is. We may go. We did live shows at one point. Nobody called. Nobody showed up.
But to be fair, when we were doing it, nobody else had ever even considered it.
Yeah.
We were doing live shows. It's common now.
Yeah. See, again, Jeff and I, we know what we're doing. Unfortunately, we just aren't reliable. Jeff, mostly.
Historically, visionaries often end up beheaded or burned at the stake, and I believe that's our lot in life.
Steak. But I don't like mine burned. I like it medium rare.
I'm not going to encourage you. I'm not going to add to that joke in any way, shape, or form.
So, in other words, IE9 is coming out tonight.
And I got to say, this is the best version of IE since IE4.
I love IE9. I've been using it since early beta.
IE9 is easily my second favorite browser.
Yeah, but you're a Google whore. We'll talk about how much of a Google whore you are later.
Because, I mean, yeah, Chrome 10 just came out, and, I mean, it's got to be better than Google 9 because it's one more. You know, 10 is more than 9.
It's you know, IE9 is faster than
up to 11.
Than Firefox.
Yeah, Firefox is only at 4. I mean, how bad does it suck?
Yeah, but IE9 is faster than Firefox, but Chrome 10 is still faster. I still prefer I like the user interface. This new slimmed down user interface on IE9, beautiful.
To me, IE9 is almost a little too spare. I don't like having my shortcuts on the same line as my bookmark bar. That's just weird to me.
Yeah, well, so.
But it's faster, cleaner.
You can pin stuff.
Pinning. The Windows 7 integration is awesome. But what's really cool is that it is as standards compliant as any browser out there. Microsoft has finally just quit doing things their own stupid way and fully embraced HTML5, and IE9 is their showcase on what they can do with it. And it's really impressive. All this stuff that never used to work in IE that works great on Safari or Chrome now works beautifully in IE.
Mm-hmm.
And even WebM, there's already a plugin for IE that will allow you to run WebM video content directly through HTML and not require Flash.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what's cool? They also support H.264.
Well, there's
Microsoft, who can't say that?
Microsoft is making a plug, just like Chrome made a WebM plugin for IE9, Microsoft is making an H.264 plugin for Chrome.
But Microsoft has pledged to support both. Whereas Google is like, Nunya, screw you.
Well, Google is making a stand. They're trying to say, look, we don't want to be even potentially held hostage by the MPEG-LA group's patent holdings. The problem is they've yet to convince anyone definitively that WebM is patent-free. And as long as people are concerned about that, they're going to stick with H.264, where at least it's the devil they know.
Okay, first of all, Google is just throwing their weight around. They are showing...
But they're tiny. They're Google.
They are... Google. No, they are not doing no evil, Jeff. This is, again, Google not really following...
How could anyone with a logo that perky and colorful be bad?
They do evil all the time.
I don't think so.
It gets shrugged off. This is not the most evil thing they've done, and I'm sure all the Linux nuts and all that are all...
I would love to hear your justification on calling this evil at all.
Well, I don't necessarily mean evil, but no, it's obnoxious. It's them throwing their weight around. It's the kind of thing they have bashed Microsoft and Apple for doing all along, especially in the with Android in comparison to iOS. It's the kind of thing they've always bashed them for, forcing someone into their standards, because that's really what they're doing. They're trying to force people into WebM.
Well, but WebM isn't their standard. It's
the standard they back.
It's a complete, but the reason they're backing it is that it's an open source, allegedly completely patent-free standard that anyone can use.
Well,
now, granted, Firefox has said screw you hippie to both of them and is backing Opthiora.
Yeah, but Google has backed the development, is sponsored the development of...
Well, sure. WebM. I mean, it is there. If you're going to back something, you obviously want to help, bring it up to speed.
But it is there. It is, for all intents.
They don't own it.
It's their format. Yeah, because it's open source. Nope, it's open source. Of course, stupid to say they own it. It's open source. But my point is, this is them. Again,
According to Google, it's more open and more usable than Opthiora, because they think that Opthiora has potential patent and encumberance problems.
Firefox says
the opposite. So who do you believe?
I believe that maybe we should just support them all until we know what's really going to happen, until we let the market actually sort itself out, which I think the problem is.
Dog.
Yeah. But it's true. You can be Apple and you can force people away from Flash. How's that going for them, by the way? Flash disappearing from the internet?
Oh yeah. When Steve Jobs said that Flash was dead, that pretty much just signed Flash's death warrant. I have not seen any Flash content since that.
Really? Have you only been using your iPhone and iPad for browsing?
It's been a while, so maybe I should explain. I was a Google fanboy for quite a while. Josh was starting to worry about me. Did I say Google? Apple. I was an Apple fanboy for quite a while. And eventually Apple's our way or the highway attitude just wore me down. And I decided that I really preferred Chrome over Safari. And as happens with these ecosystems, that started a set of dominoes falling. Just picking Chrome over Safari meant that I was more inclined to go with Android over iOS, which meant that which meant that I would be preferential to Google services over Mobile Me, and it just went from there.
Okay, who's preferential to Mobile Me?
There are several people out there
Ten, 15 people.
Word on the street. Okay, now, keep in mind, this is just what I hear.
It doesn't really listen, so...
Apple is supposed to be getting ready to announce a major upgrade to Mobile Me that will bring it much, much closer to feature and price parity with Google.
That's free is it, the yes. word you're looking for. But nonetheless.
Yeah. In fact, they're looking to leapfrog Google a little bit in allowing not only free re-downloads of content you've already purchased at the iTunes store, which, oh my God, Apple, why haven't you always done this?
Yeah, because they're the first ones to do it. Oh, wait, no, they're not.
But also allowing you to upload your own content to your Mobile Me storage and then stream it to any of your devices for free. And we're not just talking music. We're also talking movies. We're, you know, being able to put your documents and ebooks in the cloud. I mean, it's the whole cloud services battle is about to heat up in a big way.
Okay. Yes, but the first part of that we're sure of for the most part. But the second part, the whole streaming and all that, is the fuzzy part because it's been said both ways. Informants have come out and said, no, that's definitely not happening. And some have come out and said, that definitely is. Now, these are all supposedly reliable informants. So we don't know. I
don't know. I'm not sure.
Doubt I mean, the stream.
The guy who said it's definitely not happening was called Jimmy the Snitch. And I don't think I trust him.
Dude, I don't he's think, a snitch. It says so in his name.
I don't think he's a reliable informant, though.
Dude, but it says so in his name. He's got to be a reliable.
They double cross all the time.
But he's got to be reliable. It's in his name. And now I've got that Snow song. You know, that white rapper guy, Snow? He had a song, Informer.
No idea what you're talking about.
You have no idea what I'm talking about.
I don't listen to Snooki.
No. Snow. From, it was, this was like the 90s. Okay. This was the 90s. My wife has started to watch. My wife has started to watch. Jersey Shores. Now the whole world knows. I'm getting death looks.
Yeah,
Jeff said Snooki.
I honestly have never seen any of it, but there are certain aspects of it that is impossible to avoid if you live in 21st century America.
But though, I understand some of the reason people watch it because it is like a train wreck. You start watching, you're like, no, this has got to be fake. You're just watching to see when the like candid camera guy steps out. Like, there's no way these are real people.
The closest I have come to that was the episode of Bones where they were essentially investigating.
Yeah,
that was so funny. Talking about the Goombas.
That was pretty funny. That was a good episode. Anyway, we were discussing. The hell were we discussing?
I think Train. we're still talking about the browser and the cloud
Mobile
wars.
Me.
And blah, blah, blah.
Mobile Me. Basically, what we were talking about is Mobile Me Mate is probably going to be free. They'll allow re-downloads of music. Oh my, that's amazing.
See, what encourages me about that is as soon as they do it, Amazon will too. Although, I gotta say, I rarely buy and download music anymore. I stream just about everything from subscription services. I'm using Vog right now, but I'm thinking about switching to RDO. What I'm really waiting for is for Spotify to come to the U.S.
Well, you know, my favorite subscription streaming musical service, right, is losing its hardware partner. It's going through a messy breakup right now because the Zune hardware is dead.
Long live the Zune. Alas, poor Zune. We knew. Yeah. Which it's sad, really. The Zune HD is probably the coolest MP3 player, or I should say the coolest media player on the market right now. I think it's a much more interesting device than the iPod Touch, but I can see where hardware-wise it is just... The iPod Touch is crushing it
in
terms of sales.
You got to realize the Zune HD is like a year and a half, 2 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, they never gathered market share.
And honestly, what I think is going to happen, even though Microsoft has said explicitly that this isn't going to happen, I still think it's going to happen, is that we're going to see media players based on Windows Phone 7.
Well, we might.
Just without the phone.
We might see that, but the bottom line is Zune has been being set up as a service for since right after it came out. Zune was always hardware and a service. And I always got the impression from the beginning it was really about the service and they were really heading towards the service. With the streaming that's come to Windows Phone 7, that's on your Xbox, that's on your PC, they're heading for a streaming service now.
Yeah, Windows Phone 7 intersecting with Xbox really kind of tells you where Microsoft is heading with their whole media strategy.
It's all Xbox is they've got a lot they're doing. So, but that's really their ecosystem, and I'm all about that ecosystem for the most part.
It's interesting.
You're like and slurping honestly, like Hannibal Lecter over there. I keep expecting you to say something about fava beans and a nice Chianti.
No, I'm really more in a Cheetos frame of mind right
Cheetos
now.
Cheetos and a nice Chianti?
Cheetos and a Budweiser.
Ew.
I don't care what you say. That was my grandpa's beer, and I like it.
No accounting for taste.
Reminds me of him giving me a, quick,
careful
swig of his beer when I was, but the wee lad.
Okay, because I thought we were going someplace wrong, and there were revelations about your childhood I don't need.
Well, and I mean, it's not like he can be arrested for giving me beer when I was 5 because he's dead. So what are they gonna do?
I'm pretty sure the statute of limitations has lapsed.
like you gave alcohol to a minor. Now look what happened.
It's
to
been
him.
Almost 35 years since you were 5.
That's harsh, man.
What? It's true.
True, but it's harsh.
So you hadn't even been 30 years since I was 5. Not until June. Not July. Wait, when's my birthday? I didn't even do that on purpose.
Yeah, see, I may be older than you, but I'm still sharper because I don't have 2 small humans to wrangle.
Dude. I've had conversations with you. There is no
I know
way
that
you're
takes
sharper
it out of you.
Than me. There's no way you're sharper than me. I'm just saying. We've had conversations.
Sharp like cheddar.
Yeah, but you're sharp like mild cheddar.
I don't know what that means.
You're sharp like mild cheddar. Mild cheddar.
Frankly, I'm more sharp like Colby.
Colby, Kansas?
No, like city. Colby cheese, which is like cheddar, but even less sharp.
I've never
any hoozle
peeled myself on cheese. Anyway,
we were
moving along.
Moving right along. So Netflix is
we're talking about speaking of streaming. Let's segue to this.
Netflix is coming to everything,
including the Nintendo 3DS.
What's sad is that it'll hit the 3DS before it hits Android.
Well, and when it hits Android, it'll be only select devices, and
only
on the second Thursday of every month.
Let's just give up the whole dream of DRM and move on with our lives, people. Okay, it doesn't really work. You're not saving anything. You're just pissing people off. All right. Anyway.
So anyway, it's going to require specific processors, which haven't even started to ship.
And yet,
phones.
The 3DS, which is a freaking game console.
Now,
does it already play on the PSP or
no? It's not on the
Nintendo,
PSP.
Did Nintendo actually steal this right out from underneath Sony's watchful?
PSP doesn't do it, but PSP doesn't do a lot of things, like play any good games.
Ooh, burn.
Yeah, but truth hurts. And the NGP is just
Sony has fallen so very far from their heyday. They're not even really the same company anymore. They should change their name. They should call themselves the corporation formerly known as Sony.
Enos?
Or just the corporation.
There used to be this guy when I played EverQuest.
Maybe if they just had a symbol.
His name was Enos Swolb. S-W-O-L-B. Enos Swolb. Backwards.
Oh, okay. I get it. I'm with you now.
Yeah, all Sony right. blows for you slow people in the audience.
I was pretty slow.
Yeah. It was a
level
cap back in the day when I played it.
The teacher wasn't looking. I had to, like, break out my extra brain.
You don't even have one brain. How would you have an extra?
It's amazing what you can get mail order from China.
Netflix is coming to the 3DS as well as a bevy of classic games.
Bevy, you say?
Yes, retrofitted with 3D. So
see, I mean, with games, considering that they're a lot of them are rendered 3D anyway, I guess that's not ridiculous.
Tell you what, like scrollers, side-scrolling games.
No, side-scrolling games retrofitted with 3D is just stupid.
No, it's not. How cool would that be? I mean, they're already the parallax scrolling. If you added 3D to that, Blood Money 3D, I'm just saying. Although that was only ever on the Amiga and nobody but me remembers it.
Amiga.
Best side-scrolling game ever.
I have yet to find... I mean, yeah... yeah, all the Mech Warrior games were cool and all, but I've yet to find a battle mech game that on any platform that was as engaging as Mech Force on the Amiga.
Yes. Amiga. Total tangent there.
Yeah.
Remember
back in my day we had real computers.
Remember when the most powerful portable gaming system on the planet was made by Atari?
The Jaguar?
Portable gaming system. Jaguar was the first 64-bit gaming system, although it cheated because it had Tom and Jerry, two 32-bit processors. Would you like to know more?
No.
I can tell you all kinds of stuff about the hardware in all these devices. But
how
anyway,
about that
the
Twitter?
Links. Anyway, but Netflix, 3DS, but here's the question. Are we going to start seeing 3D movies streaming on Netflix?
Given that the 3D on the 3DS is lenticular and does not require glasses, they could probably pull that off.
Well, I'm saying, is this a sign of things to come?
Honestly, 3D movies, to me, make a lot more sense viewed on a personal sized screen, no bigger than an iPad, than they do on giant HDTVs where you have to wear glasses and sit in just the right part of the room.
Yeah.
But on handheld devices, you can get away with doing the 3D lenticularly and not require the glasses, and you can even, as a 3DS does, adjust the intensity of the 3D effect.
The depth.
The depth of field, so that it doesn't make you throw up. That's a positive feature that I think should be in most products, the ability to not make you throw up.
Yeah, Sony has yet to put that in any of their products. in fact, I... anyway... But
this episode sponsored by Sony.
No. Although if they want to send me money, I will talk about them more.
Not necessarily saying you'll say nice things, but
no,
you'll
talk about them more. But my point, what I was getting at is not just whether this is a good idea to stream it to this device, whether this is going to happen, but, well, I mean, we know 3D's got to be coming to Netflix at some point, well, with 3D TVs everywhere, and... in the next year or so, glassesless 3D. So now we're going to have active, passive, glassesless, and pantsless.
Well, the pantsless is optional and really more dependent on the individual consumer. I mean, that's obviously the way I would go, but...
Alright, I'm already pantsless.
So anyway...
Sans pants.
Yeah, it's definitely something to watch. The Nintendo 3D, not you without pants.
Yeah, I want. I kind of want the 3DS now. Now my wife won't go for it since I just for Christmas got a DS Lite. But I digress. Anyway, let's move on. We have one more news bit, and then we're gonna really dive into the mobile tech. But. Here's what I have to say. Twitter, what are you up to?
Twitter has become mad with power, which I have been afraid that they were going to move in that direction for a long, long time, and they finally done it. They finally gotten too big for their britches. Josh, would you care to explain their horrible, horrible overstep?
No. Oh, okay. What they've done is they said, yeah, you guys don't need to make any more apps. We don't want them. Keep them to yourself. Basically, is the gist. Basically, what they don't want is their reasoning is. They want a unified user experience. I don't think that's how they put it, but that's how I'm saying it. Because apps along the way have not used Google's own built-in retweet, which is good because I dislike Google's own built-in retweet. I prefer RT. So we know it's a retweet, so it doesn't just show up like somebody I don't follow is in my stream. Oh, I don't know you.
What's this peanut butter in my stream? What's this chocolate in my stream?
Well, it's not chocolate, first of all.
See, as soon as I said it, I was afraid you were going to go there, and my fears were justified.
You don't want to know what the peanut butter is. Anyway.
Yeah, but...
Basically, all current apps are grandfathered in. But no new apps, please. Thank you.
Yeah. They're okay with people continuing to write new Twitter apps that have a unique twist on Twitter data. Brian Brushwood from Scam School and Revision 3 is putting together, I think it's called afterlife.me or something like that, where you're required to... you're required to like check in with this service once a year, and if you miss your check-in, then it releases all of this stuff that you want put out after you die.
Awesome.
And some of that stuff will be by Twitter. So stuff that uses the Twitter API in ways that Twitter isn't interested in doing, you're still fine doing.
Don't duplicate our functionality, yeah. Gabe.
No one needs to write any more Twitter stream reading clients.
No.
Go sell crazy somewhere else, lady. We're all full up here.
No, they do have a point because there are all the apps and they're all the confusion and some of them really, really suck.
Well, and in Twitter's defense, and this is one of the things they complained about, a lot of these Twitter apps... don't use the same terminology that Twitter uses.
Exactly.
Or that the majority of the Twitter users use. You know, they don't call retweets retweets. They call them quotes or something. And they don't, and if someone gets used to using one of those and then tries to interact with the larger Twitter ecosystem, it can be confusing. And I understand where they're coming from. But this was the most hostile, ham-handed way they could have possibly gone about bringing up the subject.
And no one saw it coming.
They had giant ham hands.
They just like, it was like, you're sitting there, you're playing chess, you know, a guy over there is playing checkers, some kids in the corner playing Operation, and they walk in with sledgehammers and beat the crap out of all your games and go, "Yeah, well, you can't play these games anymore." That was
It
a
could have been
terrible
handled.
analogy.
It was a horrible
That
analogy,
was the worst analogy I've ever had.
but yeah, I mean,
You
I'm not
hear
saying that
what you
Twitter is wrong in where they're in their rationale for going this way, but it was handled in the worst way possible.
know what, Jeff? I only have one thing to say about my bad analogy. It's okay because I have tiger blood.
And Adonis DNA, from what I hear.
Duh, winning.
And now we've had our obligatory Charlie Sheen reference,
Honestly, I
so
don't think the
the
Charlie
internet
Sheen thing
police
was all
cannot
that
come
bad.
get us.
I don't think the Charlie Sheen thing was all that bad.
I honestly don't believe it's real. I think this is a Joaquin Phoenix thing. I don't think he's actually having a breakdown. I think this was a calculated way for him to get a lot of publicity and get out of his contract with CBS.
Now, well, here's the thing. After seeing the interview, I know someone, and I will not say who has a very long history of substance abuse and has very some serious problems. And that person, Charlie Sheen, was him dead on.
Yeah,
It
but
was.
Charlie Sheen was also Muammar Gaddafi head on,
No, but
as
I mean.
evidenced by the online quiz where you had to pick which quotes were Gaddafi and which ones were Sheen, and you couldn't tell.
Okay, but that's stupid. Anyway, but my point is, I think he probably is he is a little fucked up right there. But I'll tell you what, the bottom line is people are talking about how terrible this is and how he should just stop and how he needs to seek help. Well, shut the fuck up about him because he's never going to seek help if he's getting more famous. People want him more. People are like, yeah, I want to work with Charlie Sheen. He'll bring people into my movie. If he was back on 2.5 Men, you know, the right after when all this started, the two episodes of 2.5 Men that aired were the highest rated ever, some of the highest rated television ever,
Yeah, it's
because of the breakdown.
people like to watch a train wreck, but
Who the
I
dog?
am suspicious of whether or not it's an act, whether it's an authentic train wreck.
Well, it doesn't matter. It had the same effect. Now, I'm sorry about that aside, but basically what we were saying is Twitter, you stupid fucks.
Yeah. And honestly, this is what has always scared me about Twitter, is that they have grown so big and become so necessary to our way of life and our precious bodily fluids that the fact that they have really still not found a definitive revenue model kind of makes them dangerous.
Well, I think that's maybe what this is heading towards. I'm not sure how they'll do it, but I would
Yeah.
say this is probably heading towards them monetizing the service. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost getting to the point where the government has to step in and just
Make us pay Twitter?
nationalize Twitter. It just becomes part of the infrastructure.
Oh. Well, that's kind of like
Take
making
that,
us pay
Ayn
Twitter.
Rand.
That's kind of like making us pay Twitter. The Twitter tax. You know, there you go. That's a way to finance Twitter. Twitter tax. Hey, it's overthrowing dictators.
See that, but see, that's my point, is that it's becoming part of the communications infrastructure of the entire planet.
I know,
I'm not sure we
and
can,
it's letting
I'm
that
not
guy
sure we
down the
can
street
afford
take pictures of that burrito he just made. I mean, seriously,
a burrito is a wonderful
and his
thing.
poop shaped like Jesus.
Okay, that's a little weird.
Guarantee you there's at least one picture that's been linked on
Oh,
Twitter of that.
I know. There's more than one.
Oh, how do
Not
you
that I've
know?
seen them,
Wait a
but
second. Did you do two of those last night, Jeff? Do you have
I'm just.
another Twitter account? I will. You know what? I want to talk about something Twitter-wise, though.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm going to talk about, because
No, I don't.
Twitter, you're right, Twitter has become very important, and I think there is some interesting possibilities with Twitter.
Ah, here we go.
Yeah.
The twaddle.
The Twavel? Hey, that's a good name for it. I'm not going to go into details, but I have a very interesting concept of what fiction could easily become. And it involves Twitter and a lot of social media stuff, and just kind of the evolution of novels, but the evolution of media.
The evolution of storytelling. Let's just get right to it.
Yeah. Evolution of
That
storytelling.
storytelling does not have to be, yeah. Not only does storytelling no longer have to be limited to a single medium, but in our hyper-connected world, storytelling might actually work better if it used multiple media simultaneously.
And I've actually got a pretty solid plan on and some concepts for a novel that will be a Twitter novel. And I will be the first one to do this kind of Twitter novel. I'm sure I'm not the first one to do a Twitter novel. I'm sure someone did something stupid.
Well, hell, you live tweeted a Doc Savage novel.
I did. And that was kind of the precursor to this. I was planning on doing more, but I just didn't have the time. It took a lot of effort, and I couldn't really schedule those tweets. I couldn't write them and like schedule them to come out. I had to be on, at appropriate times that worked
Yes,
with the novel.
there are now Twitter clients. I think TweetDeck provides this service where you can schedule tweets, so you can you can write a whole bunch of them at once, line them up to be delivered at certain times.
But Twitter, I mean, just Twitter is
Back in my
becoming.
day, we had to tweet live.
Twitter is becoming. I mean, Jeff and I signed up for Twitter early on. Nobody was using it. Nobody knew what to do with it.
I had to explain to Evan Biz what it was.
Jeff and I mean, early on, we were like, well, we can use this to communicate, and we can use this for this. And it was all, we were all like, no, we don't want other people reading what we're talking about. We're going to block it out. Here's how we're going to use this. And then we stopped using it. And then, like, a year later, everybody's using
As
Twitter, and we're like,
with everything else, we were visionary and then got distracted by something shiny, and the rest of the world passed us by.
and then we were like, hey, what's this Twitter thing? Seriously, that's what it was
You
like.
want to know the next big thing? Watch Josh and I closely and note what we're distracted from.
Yeah, note what we're not actually doing. We talk about it, and then we don't do anything with it.
Yeah, that's going to be big.
We're kind of the opposite of visionary.
We're anti-visionary.
What in the world could that be? Oh, that's not interesting. Oh,
Also,
crap.
we don't like multicolored androids that can walk through walls. I'm just saying.
No. Also, don't like creepy androids with a guy's thumbs because they were stolen.
I really have no idea. I mean, Sony, that's really all you have to say there. But seriously, what are they trying to do with that ad campaign?
It's the Xperia Play, their new gaming phone.
There are two commercials now. They just came out with another one.
Yeah, no, this is the one. This is the newest one. The first one is the guy getting his thumbs cut off by some chick he was clubbing with. And the second one ends with creepy android floating around town with thumbs 'cause they were sewn on badly. It's really creepy.
Seriously, Sony, just pack it up and go home.
But
Salvage what is left of your pride and call it a day.
it's a day. But now that we've talked about writing, Jeff is writing. Jeff is writing,
I am
rewriting.
seriously writing.
Jeff is rewriting and then screwing it all up and rewriting again. And then he screws up and writes it again. This is how dedicated this man is. The chapters he's writing now, I bet you he's written 20 times or more. You know why I know?
Are you trying to get me to get in my car and drive 500
You know
miles and
why I
smack you in
know?
the head?
Because I have read at least 15 versions of these chapters. Am I exaggerating, Jeff?
Yes, but only a little.
How much am I exaggerating by? Do you think I've read 10 versions of these chapters?
Josh is a little shell-shocked right now because I am revising Revelation, which was my the trilogy I'm writing now is to my first novel as BSG is to the original Battlestar Galactica. Let's put it that way.
Inspired by.
And the first book in the trilogy is almost cooked. I'm doing the last pass of revisions on it right now. It will be out next month. It will be out in April. I was shooting for April 2nd. I wanted April 1st, but nobody releases something on April 1st if you intend on being taken seriously. So I was shooting for April 2nd. That may slip by a couple weeks, not for any fault of mine, but by a limitation of my critique group. If I just start hammering that, we have a 5,000 word per week limit on what we submit, so that we don't overload people. And if I just start slamming them with 20,000 word chunks, they're going to come after me with torches.
I would pay. Okay. Good money.
But Revelation will be out next month. If you take a look at my Twitter account, I have changed my avatar to be a crop of the cover, which my editor Kathleen Dale has put together, and it's really cool. I am more enthusiastic about this book now than I have been in the entire 10 years or so that I've thought about writing it. Even in 09 when I was doing it for NaNoWriMo. So if I'm that enthusiastic about it, and as Josh has said, I've been tinkering with it for this long, and I'm not sick of it, I'm still excited, there must be something to it.
Or you're crazy.
Or no, I'm crazy.
I like the story. I read Between Heaven and Hell, and I like this treatment is the best treatment I've seen. And again, I really have seen close to 10 treatments of this story in varying forms.
One of the things that people might find interesting about this book is that it does something that even in indie publishing I don't see very often, and that my characters actually tweet and upload things to YouTube. It is really hard to find a novel set in contemporary America that really reflects how people use technology.
Now, we should point out that they're not actually tweeting.
Authors try to avoid that.
They're not actually tweeting or posting to YouTube, but fictionally they are.
Well, if I had more time and resources, I would actually have accounts for all of them, and they would be tweeting.
But you want to? But what you want to YouTube? You don't have that kind of money.
Yeah. I would like to.
I could stick trigger it for you.
Sends videos up on YouTube, but I don't have the effects budget to pull that off.
I got to make stick figures.
If only I knew someone that had experience in directing short films.
Yeah, it's too bad you don't know anybody who's an award-winning short film director, writer, and star.
Yeah.
That would be me. We won't talk about the award because really, it's pathetic. But it is.
It was a minor award, but it was at least as good as a fishnet leg lamp.
It was. It was definitely as good as that. You know? And it so, wasn't. But it wasn't Italian.
Fragile.
So, yes, it's a good story.
Books, they are a coming. If you want to see a sample of my current writing style.
Well, wait. No, we've got to set this up properly.
Oh, God.
Because this is going to be a word from our sponsor. So we're segueing to our sponsor.
And now for a word from our sponsor.
Who didn't prepare anything for you.
I got to do this right. Richie Preston is 27 years old and still lives in his parents' house. Still works at a dead-end job. Lost his great love. Still hasn't really begun his life. One day, the fates smile on him and give him the opportunity to start over. Go back to being 17 and about to start his senior year of high school. Only this time with all the memories of what he did wrong the first time. All he has to do is not interfere with anyone else's life. It sounds like a great deal, but living up to his end of the bargain turns out to be a harder choice than Richie ever imagined.
Dun dun dun.
So yeah, my my novella Do-Over is available at Barnes and Noble and Amazon for the Kindle and the Nook.
Amazon.
It is a whopping 99 cents, which I think is a pretty decent deal for one's time's worth of entertainment. Yeah, it's 16,000 words, so if you're a reasonably quick reader, you can get through it in a single sitting.
Yeah, it's a good read.
And if you've ever really wondered if I could only go back and do it again, but know what I know now, well, this kind of shows you what that's like.
If you're some other guy.
And if you really want to see Nazareth, Pennsylvania in the late 80s, when Money Magazine rated it dead last among places to live in the U.S. I mean, lower than Detroit. Seriously. That's where I went to high school. Yes. I would have been better off in Detroit or South Central Los Angeles than where I went to high school. I mean, it was a step down, and I moved there from Houston.
Yes.
Think about that.
And now we return to our regularly scheduled programming.
Kind of went off on a tangent there. All right. Do-Over, 99 cents, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. If you haven't read it, go get it. And now we return to our regularly scheduled madness.
But didn't I already return us? Aren't we already there? Okay, so now we're not going to spend all night talking about this because we've actually already talked about some of the big picture, but we're going to hit some of the news points that are coming up in mobile tech right now. That there's some interesting things. Okay, first we're going to throw out a rumor there.
Okay, so
it's not the first thing on the list, so don't just start reading the list.
Okay.
There's a rumor going around that was not denied nor confirmed today by the CEO of T-Mobile. In fact, heavily hinted that it's a possibility, but T-Mobile may be bought by Sprint.
So the number three carrier in the U.S. would buy the number four carrier and
making them the number 34 carrier.
Well, it would, which would make them the Shaquille O'Neal carrier.
Exactly.
No, wait, he was 32. Hakeem Olajuwon was 34. Any hoozle.
That was clearly nowhere anywhere near at the point.
Sprint buying T-Mobile would give them, it would make it a much closer race. Between because Amazon or not Amazon, AT&T and Verizon keep leapfrogging each other in terms of the lead in the U.S. This would make Sprint T-Mobile or Sprint Nextel T-Mobile a viable third player in that race and really give them almost as many subscribers as the other two. It would be kind of a headache in terms of technology now because
GSM, CDMA.
T-Mobile's GSM and Sprint CDMA are in no way compatible.
Clearly nowhere anywhere near compatible.
But if they transition both of them to LTE, that would work fine, which both of them are getting ready to do anyway. I mean, Sprint has WiMAX as their 4G technology now, but they have said multiple times all it would take to switch us to LTE is a firmware update. The hardware is already ready.
The buzz is that they were prepared for that. That's, I mean, basically what they're saying is, no, we knew. We were hedging our bets.
Yeah. So theoretically, in a couple of years,
I was
when
hedging
everybody's
my hog.
On LTE, a Sprint T-Mobile merger could make a lot of sense.
I will say because Sprint has already...
I'm not sure American consumers getting less choice is a good thing.
Well, no, but Sprint has already bought a company with a completely different technology and ate them up.
But absorbing Nextel was kind of a train wreck, and I'm not sure anybody thinks that was a good idea.
I don't know. The logo became cooler.
It did switch from red to yellow, which gave Verizon undisputed control of red.
Well, T-Mobile's got pink. It's always that.
You say that like it's a positive.
Oh, no, not Pink the Singer, by the way, in case there was any confusion. Pink the color.
Yeah. Our logo looks like Pepto-Bismol. By us!
T-Mobile has a 4G network, if you consider 3G technology 4G.
Don't get me started on the whole 3G, 4G thing, or how AT&T's 4G is demonstrably slower than AT&T's 3G.
Jeff.
I don't want to get a rant on.
Okay, then don't get your rant on. All right. Anyway, so that's the rumor mill. We'll see whether that comes to pass.
What is not a rumor is that Amazon is getting ready to fire up their Android marketplace.
Yeah.
They have announced it. They've got like developer pages for it. I mean, this is not a secret.
No. It's a full on attack of the Android marketplace, which...
And they just announced with Rovio that Angry Birds Rio will, at least at first, be exclusive to Amazon's Android marketplace.
This is a big deal. The marketplace is one of the weakest points of Android. They don't get it quite the way Apple does, just with the interface. In my personal opinion.
Although their Android's new web-based version of the market is...
That's true. It is very
pretty good. But yeah, finding stuff on the Android marketplace on your actual device is still hit or miss at best.
Yeah, exactly. But
Android... Or Amazon understands a marketplace. They understand recommendations. They understand ratings. They understand, hey, people who bought this app also liked this app. And a lot of people are starting to wonder, this strong push with Rovio and everything else they're doing, is Amazon getting ready to attack Apple head-to-head with their own hardware and ecosystem? They already make their own hardware with the Kindle. They've just recently added free video streaming for Amazon Prime subscribers. They sell MP3s. They made an Android tablet. Could they offer a soup-to-nuts integration ecosystem every bit as solid and as compelling as what Apple has with the iPad and iTunes?
Honestly, I think that the company that has the best chance is Amazon. Because they get ecosystems. They get ecosystems in ways no one else does. Not even Apple. I mean, do you disagree?
Their decision to put Kindle software on pretty much anything with a screen, as well as selling the physical Kindle, is freaking genius. It's what made me buy a Kindle.
Well, they get that ecosystem is best when it's hardware agnostic. And but the reason they had to start with the Kindle is there was nothing else to view it on at the time.
Right.
They built it. And now if they can bring an end-to-end solution and provide their own Android-based tablet and possibly transition the Kindle's underpinnings to Android in preparation for a color e-ink Android, Kindle in the next year and a half, my prediction.
And keep in mind, the existing Kindle is Linux-based.
Yeah.
Under the hood, it's the same Penguin that's under the hood of Android. So they're not all that different to begin with.
This is true. So,
interesting things a coming.
So we'll see. I have high hopes for that, actually. I would like to see that.
Now, I already have an Android tablet that has pretensions of being an ebook reader.
No, he doesn't. He has a Nook.
I have a Nook Color, which I have since rooted and put the Android Market on and put Angry Birds and stuff like that on there. And Android is, I think, even though essentially this is just a scaled up phone, this isn't the Honeycomb UI. I think Android scales up to a tablet pretty well already. And there are certain things I really prefer doing on the Nook. If I'm reading forums in Tapetalk, or if I'm reading articles in Google Reader, I would prefer to do those on the Nook than my laptop or my phone. That 7-inch screen is a really, really good size for that kind of use. That said, if I'm reading novels or any kind of long form content, if I'm in a place with any kind of reasonable lighting, I'm still going to read on my Kindle, because the e-ink screen is still better for that, long-term reading than any LCD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the size of it.
I have a nice, tidy little laptop bag that I picked up at Micro Center that's just the right size to carry my CR48 Chrome OS laptop, and then in a pocket right next to the laptop, on the inside, it's got a little Velcro closure that kind of holds this pocket closed. And with that Velcro closed, it basically separates that pocket into two vertical pockets that are exactly the right size to put the Nook on one side and the Kindle on the other. So anywhere I take the bag, anywhere where I'm not just going with my phone, because the phone goes everywhere, but anywhere that I'm going to take the bag, I'm taking my laptop, my Nook, and my Kindle.
And this is why people
all good at different things.
Laugh at Jeff in every public situation. And
yet, still, that whole package is lighter than what I used to carry around just a few years ago.
That's what she said.
You're always making a joke about the package.
Why wouldn't I?
So anyhoozle.
So Jeff has a very Android-driven, Linux-driven little...
The Penguin is insidious. The Penguin has taken over every aspect of my life. The Penguin runs my laptop, runs both of my tablets, runs my phone, runs my frickin' Roku, which is how I watch all of my TV. The Penguin is everywhere.
The Penguin's so bright, it's got to wear shades. Anyway, I guess we should wrap up by talking about something that is out there now that's new. Apparently there's something new out there. New technology, Jeff.
New technology.
Upgraded technology. Did you know Apple had released a new product?
What, like the MacBook Pro refresh?
No. Nothing that mundane.
Oh.
I mean, this is, it's an iPad 2. This is every, actually, it's every bit as mundane as the MacBook.
Yeah, the iPad 2,
sorry, really.
It seems to be neither magical nor revolutionary, and yet people are buying them as fast as Apple can ship them to frickin' pop-up stores. I mean, it's not enough that this was released simultaneously in Apple stores, Best Buy, and Targets, but Apple is also apparently creating new temporary Apple stores to sell these out of.
I think all Apple stores should be.
They had one at South by Southwest this past weekend. And
but here it is. Here's what it is. It's thinner, faster processor, and dual cameras. You know what other groundbreaking technology is in there? Nothing.
Unicorns.
Nothing. It's the most boring refresh.
I thought it ran on Dreams and Starlight. It's
every bit as boring as the 3G to 3GS refresh. Which was...
Yeah, but I heard you could cut cheese with it.
I cut the cheese all the time. It's going to sell like crazy because it's Apple. And apparently it still is the best tablet out there for now.
Honestly, the really important part, all kidding aside, the really important part of the iPad 2 launch is how hard the other tablet makers are having, it seems to be impossible for Moto and Samsung and HTC to come out with something that has feature parity with the iPad 2 anywhere near the iPad 2's price. Apple has the market cornered on so many components right now that other manufacturers simply cannot meet their scale. And that's going to cause some serious problems for Android tablet vendors coming this summer. If a consumer's standing in a Best Buy and they're looking at the Motorola Exum on one side and the iPad 2 on the other, and they spec for spec look identical, but the Exum costs $200 more.
It's just Zoom. Stop with the Exum.
But I like the image, the mental image that conjures.
See, for me, it conjures a retired reverse flash.
There are times your geekiness astonishes even me.
Hey, never as geeky a flash reference as when John Fox was hired as the Broncos' new head coach. And I'm the only one who went... Wait, the Flash from the 25th century is going to be the new head coach of the Broncos? Because I think there are five people who knew that.
Yeah. Yeah, if you make a comics joke and Mark Waid doesn't get it...
No, Mark then... Waid got it. Mark Waid created the character. It's Mark Waid's character. Mark Waid would have got it.
Says you.
Dude.
You have no
if
proof.
If you can make a comics joke that Mark Waid doesn't get, I hear he'll give you $1 million.
I don't think he has $1 million.
Although he probably does. It's not his money.
Ain't what it used to be.
He's the man.
No, it's the iPad 2 for me is interesting, not in what it is, but what it prevents from everybody else.
Yeah.
That nobody can meet Apple's economies of scale. And that gives Apple an overwhelming advantage in everything going forward. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy at this point.
Well, and it was
they're successful.
As it was with the iPhone. As it is not anymore with the iPhone. As it will never be again with the iPhone.
It will probably take a couple more generations. I mean, I like Honeycomb. I have actually played with it on my Nook. There is a the great thing about the Nook Color from a from an Android hobbyist standpoint is that it gives boot priority to the SD slot. So no matter what you have on the device itself, you can always boot directly from a card, and you can put anything you want on the cards. So I had a card for a while that booted my Nook directly into Honeycomb, and it was fun to play with, but of course it didn't support the market or anything like that, so it was really limited in what it could do. I like the direction Android is going, but it will probably take them another generation or two to catch Apple in the tablet space. And I'm worried that that might be even longer if nobody can create compelling feature parity hardware at anywhere near the same cost.
True.
So we'll see how that turns out.
Fingers crossed. But you know what? I think that may be all we have. Actually, there technically is another piece
Yeah.
of Sony news we could cover, but I will save that for next week when we'll do a gaming segment because it's gaming related.
Believe it or not, folks, we actually left a few bullet points in our show notes that we just didn't get to because it didn't seem that important.
Not
So
with the length of the show, and we don't want to overwhelm you.
we're not rambling as much as we could be rambling. Think
Rambling.
about
I
that.
could be ramboing. There'd be a bow and arrow, a red bandana.
See, unfortunately, right now I'm trying to come up with a pithy Sylvester Stallone quote, but I keep coming up with stuff from Rocky and Over the Top. I can't think of anything from Rambo.
Did you just say over the top?
I did say Over the Top.
Why are you? Why?
That was like the best movie about professional arm wrestling ever.
I'm trying to figure out why that's okay, why
And
that's a good
yet,
thing.
you won't deny you saw it.
I would never deny I saw it. It's Arnold. It wasn't Arnold, was it? Damn. Sly. I like Sly. Sly is good. And you know what isn't? Us rambling anymore. Show's
Yeah.
over, folks. Nothing to
Okay.
see here.
Nothing to
Stay
see here.
tuned
Go home.
for another episode sometime. All right. All right. There we go. We recorded an episode.
Now, did you keep the recording going through my disconnect, or do you have to splice those together?
I can't keep it going through your disconnect. It disconnects it.
Okay, so you have to splice those together. That
But
sucks.
it won't be that big a deal because I flowed my snow comment. I think I flowed it smooth enough that I can do a fairly flawless mashup. And you don't see the hand gestures I'm making, do you?